If you have your Bibles, open to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We started this series 2 weeks ago. Well, this is the third Sunday, called Renovation of the Heart. And this will be the last Sunday of this series. And I have a lot more to say, but we'll pick it up later some other time. We've got other things we've got to do going into February. But I think it was important for this series to start our year off this way. I think God's got a plan here, laying the foundation for 2015. And you have to keep these things in mind that we've been sharing and talking about as you go about your year, because just circumstances changing or things being different out here doesn't mean that that's going to be permanent. And I am in the business of permanent transformation. I want people moving forward and for real change, and not just some temporary fixes and some patches. I want the real deal. And so I think it's a good way to start off our year. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and I'm looking in the New Living Translation. It says, "Guard your heart above all else." Everybody say, guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else. That's a pretty amazing statement. A lot of things in our lives, a lot of things going on. But guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So we live our lives from our heart. We live our lives, whether we know it or not, we live it from the inside out. And we've said this, the greatest need facing the world today is a renovation of the heart and a renovation God's way. An outward makeover is only temporary. And we want lasting transformation. So the goal of renovating your heart is where Christ is permanently, completely formed in you. Christ's likeness. Now you have your personality, but it's Jesus, that image formed on the inside of you. And we'll know when your heart is in the process of renovation or changing or being transformed is when you represent Him in the world. Where we shine as lights. How many know the world is dark? How many know the world needs Jesus? And we are called, we know here because we're life givers and, you know, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? A representative of a nation. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. So we know that renovation process is happening when the light of Christ is shining brighter in us. And hopefully we can see that. You can see that. And so we have to know what we're renovating. And so let's look in again at 1 Thessalonians 5. A lot of these things we take for granted for those that have been here at the church, but a lot of people don't know these things. And don't have any understanding, any spiritual understanding. Even people that have been in church, sad to say. But let's look at what the heart is. And so let's look at, so if we're going to guard something, we need to know what it is. So let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace," He's the God of peace, "Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body," say this, spirit, soul, and body. You see that? Three parts. "Be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I like that. May your whole spirit. He wants wholeness for you. In every part of your life. It's not good enough to be, you know, your spirit born again. It's not enough to you have your mind even renewed. You need your body to be healthy. And so He wants all three of these parts of our lives to be working together on a daily basis. And He wants wholeness. He wants us to be healthy. So quickly, going over the three parts again, You've heard this, tired of hearing it, but for those that haven't heard this, the three parts, the spirit man, the spirit person, this is the real you. This is the part of us that's either alive or dead to God. If you're not born again, that spirit is dead to God. And when you die, and, you know, the spirit leaves the body is buried, the spirit is going to go to two places, heaven or hell. If your spirit is dead to God, and this is sad, its destination is hell. That's rough. That's why it's important. We preach the gospel to get people saved, because people are going to hell around us. And it's important for us to be life givers. I mean, eternity is a long time. 40, I'm 52. 50 seems like a long time. Although when you get there, it seems like that long. But 60, 70, 80, maybe 100 years. We think that's so old. But it's a vapor. It's nothing in comparison to eternity. And so the Spirit connects us to the spirit realm. And so that's where we connect with God. And for the believer, it's the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. Now the soul is the connector between the spirit and the body. It's made up of three parts. It's the mind, which is our thinking, reasoning. That's where, data, event storage, memories. That's where we solve problems. It's a place where revelation comes. You ever had a revelation? We look at that as a light bulb, right? The light bulb going off. What happens? Light comes to your mind. You had that happen? I know you have. Light bulb goes off. Now your emotions, which are powerful. We all know that, those that are married, we know how emotions are powerful. You feel things, pleasant or painful. You like or dislike things. These feelings can be rational or irrational. Have you ever had an argument with someone when everything they're saying is irrational? What can you do with that? And it's a place where passion comes from. Also, compassion. And God's okay with feelings. He's okay with you having feelings. But your feelings need to be managed properly. I mentioned, I think last week, the scripture says, be angry. And what? And sin not. So these emotions are good things, but it's what you do with it. They can be so powerful, they can override the word or truth. And that's what we need to learn. And when we have things in order, they are being managed properly. And then there's your will. Your will is strongly influenced by your mind and your emotions. We make decisions based on these things. Your will is the decision maker. And working together with the mind and emotions, it decides things. It says yes to this and no to this. Every day, you're making decisions. I mean, how many here are like tired of making decisions? Don't you just want to, I can see how a cult works. You just get so tired of making decisions. Will somebody just make them for me? You go to the restaurant and you go look at the menu. Oh my God, more decisions. Just tell me what to order. I don't even want to think about it. So many, but every day, we're made this way. And that's why this is so powerful, because and this is either amen or oh me. Your life today is a result of your decisions. Good and bad. And really, this is, and we want, what we want, God wants this, I want this for you, is to have your decisions influenced by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And you can be trained, your mind and emotions can be trained to, and again, I'm not promising 100%, nobody's perfect, But that's not an excuse to continue to make bad decisions. But you can gather strength and knowledge and information and wisdom to skillfully make the right decision. Hebrews says we can have our senses trained to discern between good and evil. So there's training involved. You know, James is in the military. Others are here in the military. You know, they're trained. And so when combat comes, what's in them comes out. The training kicks in. So that, you know, when it comes making those decisions, you've got to have something in you to make the right decisions. Then the body. It's the focal point of this physical world. It identifies us. You're looking at me. This is my body. It's important, though. I've got to have a body to function in this earth. It's important. And if this body is not healthy and functioning properly, it can mess everything up. So, I mean, what part are you going to do without, you know? And so the three parts are separate, but they're all so connected, it's difficult to tell where one starts and one ends. And so we started talking about the renovation of the heart, and renovation begins with salvation. And that's where the word is preached. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Where the word is preached, and I had at least five people witness to me before I got saved, where they shared the gospel with me. The gospel's powerful, but you know, because of my thinking, because of my religion, because of my beliefs, I just wasn't getting it. And then one day the light bulb went off, revelation came, and I saw it, that if I confess, like it says in Romans 10, Jesus as my Lord, believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. And one day I got that revelation, I acted upon it, and I was born again. It happened when I was 19. And that day, I mean, I could tell a difference the next day, and my spirit, the Bible says, was made alive. The scripture says a new creation. One translation says a new creature, one that has never existed before. A new species of being. So something powerful, resurrection power, happened when you were saved and born again. It, just like that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, came in and resurrected your dead spirit and made it alive to God. And now, when you die, that spirit that's alive to God, its destiny is heaven. That's pretty awesome. For eternity. Well, if our spirit is made alive and we are new creations, then what's the problem? Then why shouldn't Christianity and being a believer, why shouldn't it be easy? Do you ever like think of that? Do you ever like, you know, like, why is this so tough? Why is this not easy? I mean, you know, it should be, I go to church and I pray and I know the Bible, and I mean, shouldn't my life be going better? Well, see, here's the issue. Our spirits are changed. Resurrection power has come and changed our spirits, but our soul and our body are still under the influence of the old man. All these years, all that influence has indoctrinated, has infected your soul and your body. Now, I wish it wasn't that way. If it wasn't that way, my job would be so much easier. And so that's why I read, let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17, and I'm reading from the Message translation. I use different translations. For one, you've got so accustomed to some translations, you don't even see it anymore. And even look at it. I put it up there, you just know it, and It doesn't even, so I use different translations. Is that okay? Some people are like, well, I'm not using King James. I don't speak with Elizabethan English. Do you? So, I know you're so attached to the King James, and that's fine, but it's just, I just never have gotten that translation. So I use New King James as my main deal. I mean, you know, thou and thee and willeth and some of these other words, I mean, I wouldn't do good in England, I don't think. But you're thinking, oh, I wouldn't do good here in Augusta either, I don't know. Ephesians 4, verse 17. And so I insist, and God backs me up in this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, I hope this isn't you, empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch, not only with God, but with reality itself. Do you know anybody that's lost touch with God and with reality? Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you haven't lost touch with reality. James is saying it with an English accent. That's even better. They can't think straight anymore. Can't think straight anymore. That's good. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go into sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. Other words, that's not who we are. You learned Christ, right? We should be learning Christ, Christ-likeness, forming that image of Christ on the inside of us. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to Him. And so the renovation of your heart, we're talking about the soul now, of your mind, you got to pay attention. You got to be careful. What are you doing? Been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Nobody here has an excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way. See that? The old mind, the old thinking, the old feelings. The old man, the influence of the old man, the influence of the sin nature. Everything connected with the old way of life has to go. And so if there's going to be a renovation of the heart, those old things have to go. Now, how many know that renovation can be a problem, can be difficult, can be painful? Ask the guys that did the work to renovate the courtyard to get it ready for the new, you know, the concrete that's going to be put in there. Now, Paul and Trish, you were there. That was just an easy job, wasn't it? That jackhammer and that, you know, it seemed like 2 foot of concrete. I mean, that was just nothing, right? I came when I saw them working that day. Tony was there. I had never seen people so spent and so beat and, I mean, so red and so sweating as I did that day. I mean, they had the jackhammer, and that concrete did not want to come out. So renovation, and I don't know why, but some things from the old man are easier to get rid of than others. And so it's a process, and it can be painful, and it can be hard. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute, why that is. Old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Rotten thinking. Rotten feelings. Rotten thoughts. Rotten imaginations. get rid of it. That's what the renovation of the heart is getting rid of that stuff. And then take on an entire new way of life, a God-fashioned life. See, fashioning, forming. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. And for those that have the New King James, his last part says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So that's what we're talking about, renewing your mind. Are you seeing this today? Is the soul has to be renewed. The spirit's alive to God. The soul has to be renewed. And that's a process. And I wish it was just a one-time thing. I used to, when I started preaching, it'll be 20 years ago, preaching full-time, I'll just say, I would come in with 9-10 pages of notes, 50 scriptures, and I was just, I'm determined to get it in our services. I mean, they went on for 2.5 hours, sometimes more. Remember those days? You guys need gold stars. And because, I mean, I just thought every service, man, we're just going to just everything in there, and they're going to be changed after this service. I'm hitting home runs every time. And that's all wonderful until, like, you've been doing it for a while, and someone that has heard certain sermons 50 times, they'll come to you after 5 years and say, I finally got it. What? You finally got it? What have we been doing these last 5 years? I told you about being patient as a minister. I mean, Good News Church is not McDonald's. We ain't. There's no quick fixes here. I mean, God does things and miracles happen, but then you wake up the next day and that thing's been changed, but then there's 50 other things. And so I want the miracles and I want the instantaneous, but I know that this is a process and I've got to be in it with you for the long haul. See the renovation through. And even when I think you've got it, you probably don't. And that's okay to be patient and loving and gentle most of the time. It says over in James that the pastor is the bishop of your soul. And so what we teach here in our classes and things that we do, and I mean we don't just throw anybody in there. We're thinking we have a system of belief here of things that we think. Now, and again, we're open to God and we're not perfect, but we have a system of belief that we're trying to get over to you that we think are crucial for you to be a healthy believer. Led by the Spirit, knowing about the Spirit of God, you know, obviously the Word of God, faith, knowing your authority in Christ, who you are in Christ, you know, these kind of things. We want you to have the right diet. And so the bishop of your soul, and I can't, and I know guys, people try to do that. That's what a cult is, trying to control your thoughts. I can't do that, but I have a responsibility of what happens when we're together, of what is happening, you know, what's being said. And so even like a guest minister, I don't want to bring somebody in that's going to tear up all the seed we've planted. And it's pretty powerful what you think. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, what does the rest of it say? So is he. That means you can be alive to God on the inside. A new man, new creation, resurrection power, but still think something else. And that thinking is more powerful than the resurrected spirit. Because how you think is how you think it really is. Do you see that? Your thinking is powerful. And we're trying to change your thinking to think more like Jesus. To have godly thoughts. All right, let's keep on going. And what's happened is, reality is an amazing thing. The reality, what's your reality? How many know you can have dark thoughts? And even though you know better, every one of us is capable of having dark thoughts. And and what happens if you have so many of these different thoughts come in, and the enemy is bringing thoughts? Hopefully, how it's supposed to work is God's thoughts are coming from the inside of you into your mind. But so many of these thoughts are coming, and people say things to you, and they can form patterns of thinking. You know what I'm saying? Patterns of thinking. Systems of thinking that are wrong. And that explains why born-again people can do wrong things because they may have wrong thinking. Every one of us, whether you're saved or unsaved, we're capable of really anything. I don't really know what's going on inside your head right now. And you can go out of here, and even though you look holy and righteous and everything, you can go out of here and do some evil things. And we'll all like be wondering, why did they do that? Well, they did that because of thinking. The thinking that they have is their reality. And even though they've heard the Word hasn't changed that area of their thinking. And so they can still decide to do wrong things. Isn't that amazing? And that's why it's good to be a consistent church goer, or have people in your life that you talk the Word with, and spiritual relationships, because any one of us are capable of getting off. Should I just tell on myself? Philip, no, don't do it. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell it anyway, even though Philip doesn't agree. I've shared this before about being, and I've got my sons here. Oh, my goodness. Guys, leave the room. Matt, leave the room. Wes, that whole section over there, leave the room. You've heard me share that about marriage, going to marriage counseling, right? And I got all the reasons why there was trouble in our marriage, all my excuses. But what happened is I was going through some things in other relationships in my life, important relationships in my life, that the negative things happened. And it got to be so overwhelming, it is almost, I couldn't handle it anymore. I don't know if you've ever been there. And I went into a deep depression, and where I just couldn't function because of these things. And again, all along I'm following God. I'm preaching on Sunday, but I'm just withdrawn. It's difficult for me to function. And so during that time, then so if that's happening, then what happens? Then a lot of it falls on your mate. And so now she's having to do more. And so finally, she did as much as she could, and went on for months, but she just finally just said, this is it. I can't take this anymore. Something's got to change. And she said, if we don't get this straightened, I don't know if I can continue in the marriage. This is Susie. And to be honest, how I felt when she said that to me and then she had arranged to go to a marriage counselor. How I felt about it, I didn't want to go. I didn't think I needed to go. I didn't want to go. I don't even know if I really believed in it at that time. This is like 2003. And then she ended up going by herself. And that, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. And this is the way he said it to me. But he knew what to say. He said, "What kind of man are you? You're going to let your wife go to marriage counseling and you're not going to, I mean, what are you, a wimp? What are you afraid of?" So I went the next time. But I'll be honest, and we went for 2 years. And I'm not saying for you to what to do. If you need it, you don't, probably don't need this. But we needed it. I went for 2 years every week. 2 years. 50, you know, over 100 times we went. And it was painful. It was like renovating the courtyard. I mean, there was one time in there, I was so mad, and I am not a rude person. I am Minnesota nice. You ever heard that phrase? I mean, we are up in Minnesota, we're nice people. We're not rude to people like the Southerners. No. Get out of there. Get rid of that. No. But I got so mad during one of the sessions, I got up. I didn't cuss, but I should have. I wanted to. Badly. I got up and I slammed the door and left. I did. I slammed the door because I wanted them to hear, Susie and the counselor to hear it, and I wanted the rest of the people down the hall to hear it too. Because I didn't like what was happening. Really what was happening, it was getting too close to home, and it was exposing some thoughts, some thinking systems and patterns that I didn't really want the light to shine on that particular day. But during this process, and earlier on, my thinking was dark. I don't know if you've ever had dark thoughts. I know about wanting to take my life before I was saved. I know about dark thoughts. I hate to admit it, but during this period, I thought about running and leaving my wife. I was considering it, and the enemy was messing with me. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but my sons are right here, but I don't really care. I had gotten a storage unit and started putting my stuff in it and getting ready to leave. Moving stuff around, money moving around, getting ready to leave town. And Fabio, it got so bad. I was down and it was just a dark, I mean, it's just the enemy just hitting me. I'm pastoring. I'm preaching. I'm ministering to people. But, you know, I'm having dark thoughts. And so I'm down at the river walk down there late at one night. And I think it was after a Wednesday night service. I was just down there and I was just, what am I doing down at the river walk? It's like 10 o'clock at night. And I'm just like, I just can't take it anymore. And so the last thing I did is I'm ready to go. And so I call my brother Pat kind of as a last ditch thing and talk to him. And he is skilled. He's a police chaplain. He's a skilled minister. So I called him, and he kind of, you know, is listening to me, and he's not telling me what to do or everything. But it finally came down to, you know, Matt, is that really what you want to do? And just just his love and his compassion, it just hit me. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I love Susie. I do. I mean, I've always loved Susie. And I love my kids. And I love them. And this is not me. And so during the course of that conversation, something changed. And then healing began to work. And I went back to the counseling and things began to change and improve. But I'm just telling you, if this can happen to Pastor Matt Judd, what can happen in your life? The enemy can get you in a dark place. That is why we need each other. That is why we need a church. We need it. We need people around us that will speak the truth in love. Not just the truth, but to say it in love and to say it with grace and to say it with compassion. The enemy, he is working to plant those thoughts in you. And we got to be, and if you're going to make these kind of big decisions, don't you want to make the right one? That would have been the wrong decision for me. But plenty of people better than me made that decision to leave. And they did that because that was their reality. Even though it was against the word or a lot of other things, they did it because they felt that is the right thing to do. You see that? And we have got to combat the ways of the world in our thought life with the Word, with the Spirit of God, with each other, with God's love, with God's grace, and to change our thinking. I hope I don't regret all this after this service is over. Susie leaves town and looks what happens. Oh, by the way, in the courtyard, we're just about there. We're working with the contractor, just about ready to get it done. Just about there. Thank you for your patience. Let's look at Romans 12, 2. Romans 12, 2, Amplified. Harry, you still love me? Still respect me? A little bit. Matt, is it okay? Do you wish you would have left? Romans 12, 2, Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. You see that? As the mind is being renewed, because it's conformed to the world, as it's being transformed, as it's being renovated, and again, it can be painful, as it's being washed with the Word. The Word has life. The Word has God in it. The Word has Jesus in it. The Word is quick and living and powerful. The Word is bread for the soul. It feeds you. It washes. It cleanses. It changes. And see, and just the act of us putting the Word in there doesn't do all the work. Then God adds His grace to it. And He has the power of a seed to make it much more powerful than that little seed, is it can produce 100-fold. So this is what we're talking about, not being conformed to the world and to its thinking and its ways and its attitudes. We're being conformed to Jesus, to His Word, to His ways. And it's a process. And the soul is so powerful, it decides whether it wants to be renovated or not. The heart that's alive to God wants to be. But the soul and the mind can be so powerful and say, no, today I don't want that. Today I choose to do my own thing. Today I'm going to, these bad thoughts I'm having, I'm just going to dwell on them today. And this is a process. I've been at this for 30 years, and I'm getting revelations this year that I haven't had. And there's things still in my life. I'm 52, been walking with Jesus for over 30 years. There's still things that are being exposed. So I have to be just as open today to God in this renovation process as I was 30 years ago. And even more so because I know so much more. It's so easy to fall back on what I've already heard. Well, I know that. I've heard that. I can teach that better than you. So it even though we should be, you know, in a better place, sometimes it's difficult as you've been walking with Jesus for a while, is you get comfortable, you get lazy, and you allow things into your soul that you never would have allowed years ago. So how, I'm going to jump over to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Let me ask you this question, and then we'll wrap it up here. How do you know if your soul was being renovated? How do you know if your soul is being renovated? Is it if you pray an hour a day? Is it if you have Bible study for a half an hour? Is it because you're here in church today? Now, these are all good things. But we know if renovation of your heart is happening, is are you more like Jesus than you were a year ago? Are you more loving than you were a year ago? You may need to have some help here. Because sometimes how we see ourselves and how others see us are two different things. Do you have more joy now than you did before? Do you have more peace? See, these are all, and we just questions we don't want to ask. I'm sorry, Nate. These are questions. These are good questions. And maybe with your partner, you know, your prayer partner, maybe you should be asking these questions. How do you think the renovation process is going? Who wants that? Do we really want people to speak the truth in love to us? So if we're not seeing, and so that's growth. Growth, and you need to come to church, and you need to pray, and you need to read your Bible, and all these confessions, and all these different things. These are all great things. But if it's just habits or checking off a box, you're no different than the Pharisees. They did all those things. They did it better than anybody else. But Jesus rebuked them constantly. Why? Because their heart was far from God. And so we gotta look at our lives. And so as we're starting off this year, and I am all for Team Lean, I am all for, Financial Peace University, I'm all for all these different things, these changes. It's a great time. I love the end of the year, making goals. Natalie was talking about doing Write Your Sight. All of that stuff is awesome. But where are you at with God? Are you close to Him? Are you connected to Him? Are you passionate? Or is it kind of going through the motions time? And I know what that's like. So it's time right now, as we start our year, it's time for a checkup. And I know, and I've just shared with you, the world, the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, distractions of other things, enter in and choke and strangle the Word. And there's probably some people here today, you can't even hear what I'm saying because of the power of that happening. Choking the Word, meaning the life in the Word is not doing what it's supposed to in your spirit, your soul, in your body. And so you have to, you have to be willing. You have to be open, not open to everything, but open to God. You have to be open to truth. And some of you, can I just say, you're just so stubborn. And you've got so many excuses of why you do wrong things. Well, that's just my personality. And you know, I'm Irish and I'm angry all the time. I abuse this alcohol because my life is so stressful and I've got so many things going. And again, I mean, all these excuses, I understand, I've got them. But if we want to have renovated hearts, which I want to have because I know what the Lord wants to do, He has got some amazing things planned for you in 2015. Well, Roberts used to say this, miracles are coming towards you or past you every day. I want you in a place when your miracle's knocking on your door, open the door and say, come on in. This is a year for the dreams and godly dreams and desires of your heart coming to pass. This is a year of manifestation. This is a year of extraordinary harvest. I want you to be in a place to receive all that God has for you. But you've got to cooperate. You've got to open up your heart. And for young people, people you hang out with, they don't have a clue what I'm talking about today. They're just lost. Are you lost? Just lost people out there. Even people in church, they're just lost. Put up 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, and we'll wrap it up. It's time, guys, to wrap this up, but real quick. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Hold it right there for 1 second. What's a stronghold? In the Greek, this word stronghold means fortress. A stronghold is a system of thinking that has gotten so powerful, it's built a fortress in your mind. And it's tough to let anything in or out. Only the power of God will pull down a stronghold. Casting down arguments. You ever had arguments? Double-minded man, James says, is unstable in all his ways. Let that man think he won't receive anything from God. Casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Oh my goodness, this is good today. Woo! Oh my goodness. I hope you're listening today. Oh wow. Woo! Man, I'm doing my jig today. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Woo! Woo! Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. I've been saying to Susie, something's happening. Something is happening. Something's happening. Something's happening. Woo! Well, I'm not feeling anything, Pastor. Well, just stick with me.
Right.
You'll eventually get it. Something's happening. God is moving. Harry, something's happening. Did you hear me? Parker, something's happening. Are you in? He's like, I think I'm in. I don't really know if I'm in. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm in. What's it? Put that verse back up there. Where are you going with that verse? Verse 6. And be ready to punish. Who's ready to punish some wrong thoughts? Let's just go ahead and punish. That's it. You're going into timeout. This stronghold, you're grounded today. In fact, you're grounded for the rest of my life.
Yes.
Go in your room and lock the door, and you're not coming back out again.
Yes.
Punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Frank and Nate, can we get our praise team up here? Frank, you've got to sing that song again, Jesus is a Sinner. Can you sing that again? Come on, guys. Nate, is that okay? Can you do this? Is this too hard? Do it or you'll be punished. No. Let's stand, everybody. And again, I'm not doing mind control. I'm not kind of control your thoughts, but I want to sing this song again, and I want you to, as you worship the Lord, I want you to talk to Him, and you just decide where you're at, and if you feel like you're far away, come near to Him. Draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to you. And if you don't know Him, just call on His name. And if you feel like you've committed the unpardonable sin, you haven't, and receive His forgiveness. Let's start our year off and let's make some fresh commitments in 2015. We decide to follow Jesus. His will be done, not mine.